Good morning, church. So good to see you. So good to be here with you. Can we actually get the house lights and the string lights on? Get a little light in here. I have for you a gift. I have a gift for you on this Mother's Day of 2025. And what I have prepared are two different messages. And so one is continuing on in our series with Galatians, and the other is just to pause and remember the significance of moms in our lives. And it's not so that we worship moms, because we worship Jesus, right? But Jesus pointed out from the cross a pretty significant thing. And what I want to do is I want to read that for you, and then we're gonna decide which way we're gonna go, and I'll give you a little more instruction on that. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And so we're in this text that we were just at recently on Resurrection Sunday, or it was more likely Good Friday that we read this text specifically. And I'm going to start in verse 23. 19 verse 23 says this: "When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom." There's significance there as well that I would invite you to explore with your community groups. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, 'They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment.'" So this is what the soldiers did. Verse 25, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved," that's John, the one who wrote this, the gospel according to John, "he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Jesus made a significant effort in his last moments of breathing before he died to care for his mom, right? There's something beautiful and something rich and something I believe in us as created in the image of God. There's this fierce protective desire to honor and to protect our mom. Would you agree with that? Yeah. And it's good. And it's good. What's interesting is, and what's likely, most scholars believe, and scripture doesn't indicate otherwise, that Joseph, Mary's father, had died at this time. So he's not around to take care of Mary. What else is interesting is normally it's the oldest son in the family. So Jesus would have defaulted then to one of his brothers. Could have been Jude. It could have been James, but he didn't. He defaulted to John, the author of this gospel. And John, if you've read scripture before, was most likely the youngest disciple. Possible that when he started his ministry, he was even younger than 15. I heard one scholar say he could have been 13 when Jesus called him into ministry, into walking alongside him. And at this time, so he's journeyed with him for 3 years. He could be 16 to 19, who knows, somewhere in there. He's still a young man. And Jesus goes, "Hey, take care of my mom. Mom, this is your son now. He's going to be the one who cares for you and takes care of you." Sometimes we'll read this and we'll go, woman, he calls her woman. Well, when people say woman, it's this disrespect, but actually it's a highly respectful form of address, in the culture. It's this affectionate term. It's almost like, dear woman, I am going, my time with you is done, and now I'm releasing you into the care of the beloved disciple, the one who I love. And so there's this beautiful movement of Jesus to honor his mom. And what I would like to make time to do is I said this when we opened the service, is our goal is, as we gather, is to worship. And in fact, that's what we're created for, is to worship God. So we don't gather to worship our moms. And even when we say Happy Mother's Day, we're not worshiping our moms in the sense that we're glorifying them, although we are ascribing some value to them. But what I want to invite us to do, and this is where we get to choose which direction we're going to go in, is to share testimony. If you have testimony of experience with your mom that you can encourage, that you can build up, that points to Jesus. So what I'm saying is a little bit more. What I want to invite you to is a little bit more than my mom made me lunch, which is beautiful and which communicates God's love and provision. I don't want to totally minimize and neglect that, but I'm looking for the weightier, the more substantive experience. Does that make sense? I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. The first is, I remember sitting on a pew. Anybody know what a pew is? Anybody ever sat in a pew? Just picture with me the dust that comes up when you flop really well, and the sun's shining in the dust motes. Picture the creak if it's a really good old oak pew as you sit into it. I remember sitting with my mom in a pew sometime the age of 4 to 6 at our church, First Baptist Church in Cranbrook, BC, and it was Communion Sunday, probably the first Sunday of the month, because that's what a lot of churches do, and the communion was coming around. I remember my mom leaning over to me and saying, "Do you know what this is about?" Right? And I'm just this little guy, it's 4 to 6, but I've grown up under the teaching, and I was able to articulate it enough that she prayed with me and invited me into taking part in communion. And when I remember the day that I chose Jesus, that's instantly where my mind goes back to. There's such a gift in a spiritual heritage that you as moms can bless your kids with when you lead them to Jesus at a young age. Such a gift. Another experience that I remember is when Jody and I were expecting, I wasn't expecting, Jody was expecting. And actually in the midst of delivering our first son named Malachi, we were at the hospital. It was a very, very long, drawn-out labor. It started, and it was about 3 days later at this point, right? Am I right in that? I remember being in the hospital, and we were in so the hospital that we were at had these three rooms. The first was the most glorious room. The second was close to it, and the third was a little closet. And we had been demoted because of the timeline and how long we had been there from the first. Did we go first to third, or did we go first, second, third? I don't know. We started really nice and we were in a closet. Then they sent us home and it was this back and forth thing. And it came time where Malachi was getting ready to arrive. I'm going to do my best to just keep this as clean as I can. If you've seen it, you know the amazing and beautiful thing. And Malachi got stuck. He got stuck and he wouldn't come out, and they had all the monitors, the clamps, all those things on them, and all of a sudden Malachi went into distress. And we'd known the doctor, and she was actually going to let me receive Malachi as he came out. All of a sudden that changed. In the blink of an eye, doctor was like, out of the way, I'm in. And what happened was they had to put the suction cup on. Lots of babies have suction cup and they come out fine, but Malachi came out and the umbilical cord was wrapped so tight around his neck that there was no breath and there was no pulse. And I remember in that moment looking at Mom, Jody, as in his mom, and they grabbed Malachi. She had Malachi clamps on, tipped up, umbilical cord cut, and over to work on him. And I remember this deep peace and presence of God in the room at that moment. And I remember going over and just praying with the mother of, at that point, my child, and just having this deep sense of awareness. And Jody's in this vulnerable place on the table, watching across the room. And there's more maybe for you to share about that, but I just remember that presence and peace of Jesus in that moment, so rich. And so they worked on Malachi, and a minute, 2 minutes, whatever it was later, all of a sudden you hear this little squeaky cry come out of this beautiful baby. And it was such a combination of medical training, which is good and beautiful, and God's presence and touch on this little boy. And so I thank God. I thank God for that moment, that moment of peace and presence on our family. So good. And so I'm gonna give just a moment. And if you are a mom, by all means, come up and share how God has touched your heart in this experience of being a mom. But I want to invite us to as we're sharing, to always make sure that the trajectory of the story that we're sharing is Jesus, is back to Jesus. Does that make sense? So this is the moment of where we go, and we'll see. I'll give a little bit of time here. Thank you, Lord. And so, Jesus, as you're moving here in our midst, we just make space. If there are words of testimony, words of encouragement, let them come to life, Lord. You are a God who is ever present. You promise to never leave us or forsake us. And so we just invite you in our midst right now, Lord. Stir us, show us what you've done, show us what you will do. In the song "Do It Again," yeah, come on up. In the song "Do It Again," we sang these words: "I've seen you move, you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again." That's one of the reasons that we share, that we speak testimony. Thanks, brother.
So I grew up in church going since before I can remember anything, but from about 19 to about 27, I had some things happen, just ran away from God, and life was my own. I just did whatever I wanted to do, but I remember always the patience and grace. My mom, I would go to her house and I would build this wall up for protection around myself, and I would lob these grenades of philosophy and other religions and different things, and, oh, what about this? And I, you know, we'd have these conversations, and she would just gently talk to me and share a bunch of books with some Christian authors that I ended up taking and reading. And one of them just ended up, I was reading it at work in this big Terex truck, and God just knocked me over. And I'm sitting in this truck weeping and realizing that he wants me back. And it was through that patient just love and interaction with my mom that she didn't give up on me, and she didn't sugarcoat anything. She just laid Jesus out and said, this is who he is. And that was just, for me, it was huge. It was, yeah.
Beautiful. Shoot. Thanks, brother.
Well, I was a mom at a very young age. I was 17 when I had my first child. And I remember looking at him sleeping one day and thinking, what's going to happen to this child? I just was so aware of my inadequacy to actually be a mom. And when I became a Christian, you know, God entrusts us to be mothers. We have no training. He entrusts us to look after this little child, to nurture them, to teach them. And I realized very soon after I became a Christian that God was very wise, knowing that we had no training, that we would need him. We would need to go to him to show us how to teach this child, how to care for this child, how to install God's word in this child. And so I think it's amazing that God entrusts us with children even before we have any training to do it, knowing that we will go to him and learn how to be a mom, learn how to raise up his children in the admonition and the training of the Lord. So that was a real mind opener for me when I became a Christian. Mm.
I have a slightly different story about my mom, not necessarily being a Christian and raising us in a Christian home, but I still, the one thing that I always think of my mom, I think of her hands. She has the most beautiful hands, and I think of those hands and how they have created such love for our family in the way she always was a wonderful cook and would make us beautiful meals and show us her love through that, as well as I'm super grateful that she has always created beautiful things. And so she's taught me the craft of knitting, and with that, I have been able to create things that I can give to people out of love, as well as she taught me how to cook, and I love cooking, and that's how I show my love to my family. So when I think of her subconsciously showing us how creation and how God has created so much in this world for us to just revel in its beauty and creation and love. I'm super grateful. And so I want to pray for all those moms who may not know Christ yet, but he is definitely within them.
It's weird when I tromp my way up here.
Let me help you, buddy. There you go.
Thank you, sir. So this isn't technically about my mom. So Vivian and I met when she was about 13 and I was almost 15. And I don't really know why she continued to hang around me, because on our first meeting, I think I cussed out a church, which was my father's words coming out of me. I was forbidden as a kid to attend church, and all my friends went to Sunday school, and I sat on the corner waiting for the bus to bring them back. He had a background where he was molested by priests and stuff, so, and with along with all his brothers. So he had a mad hate on for God for the things that man had done to him. Anyway, so when Vivian and I started hanging around, I ended up at her place, which all of her friends were like, hang out at her house. And I really liked her mother, who was to be my mother-in-law many years later. Yeah, so we were friends for 17 years prior to getting together. And now we've been married 20 plus years. On top of that, so we've known each other a long time. But when we were young and I was hanging out at her house, I really liked her mother. And then she was probably very weirded out because she would come home after school, after work, and I'd kind of be hanging out with her mom having coffee. So I liked her mom that much. But I, what's strange is I really didn't know, I'm like, because I was just kind of, forgive me, like a punk kid, you know, and like a snot-nosed kid, and, you know, I had a big chip on my shoulder, etc. You do kind of at that age, right? And she accepted me, like my mother-in-law, Juanita, she accepted me. Yeah, she's probably listening right now. It's hard. It's hard for Viv because she's not here on Mother's Day too. And I said, well, just talk to her, pray, talk to her. She's listening. But I didn't know really that they were Christian. I'm like, there's something weird about this family. That's what I'm thinking. There's something different. And then one day I was there and her mom was like in the basement at her little desk and she was reading away. And I walked by and I'm like, hey, what you doing? What you got there? What you reading, right? Thinking it's probably a murder mystery or something. That's what my mom reads all the time. Anyway, I go by and she's like got this Bible that's so highlighted. I don't think there's like a page that doesn't have color on it. It's crazy. And then like I see the Bible, so it's like, oh, now I get it. Now I know why these people are so different and so loving and so kind and so accepting of me. So today, I just remember Juanita, and I'm thankful for her, and I'm thankful that she knew. She was my advocate, and she knew. And thank you for giving me my wife and mother to my children as well. Thank you, God.
Hello. This is more my wife's story, but she gave me permission to share it. So, like a year and a half ago, or I guess more, maybe 2 years ago, she was diagnosed with a really bad liver to the point of potential transplant. It was a really big deal. It kind of came from nowhere, and obviously it was like a lot to deal with. So we came and prayed with the prayer team here, and you know, we went about our life. We were also told that she wouldn't be able to get pregnant, and that I wasn't able to get pregnant either. So it was sort of a double whammy. But then she got pregnant, which was a huge surprise. And the doctors were really, really upset that she was pregnant. They were confused, but also upset because it complicated her situation. The transplant was now having to be put on hold. They had to think about the life of a fetus with the medication that they were going to give her to stall the liver disease. And then through that process, we eventually had a beautiful daughter who was 6 weeks premature. But directly after the birth of our daughter, her numbers basically went back to normal, to the point where her liver specialist called us. And this, keep in mind, the baby's out now, so the plan was to then at that point really run at her liver and consider the transplant. And since the baby was no longer in her, they could be more aggressive. That obviously is not what happened. The doctor called, and her exact words were, it was as if, because, you know, they do a biopsy, so they take, like, a large needle, and they'll take a piece of your liver out, and then they also do the blood work, so they know where your liver enzymes are at, and she had to do that twice a week, every week. So, and then they do an MRI. I mean, they really cover it all to make sure that they're not going to do something as extreme as a transplant without really exploring every option. So she had to go get another biopsy done, and the doctor called and said it was as if Chrissy went and got a new liver.
That's right. Come on.
And, yeah. So through the blessing of motherhood, he also answered our prayer in a new liver for Chrissy. And now she is completely off all medications. Her numbers are completely normal. And we have an amazing, healthy daughter.
That's so good. So good. I'm going to invite Jody, if you could come up, and I'm just going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray for anybody who has hurt in their lives around their relationship with their mom, and then whatever else, and then I'll pray a blessing over our moms, and then we'll move into ministry time.
This week I was reading in Exodus.
Oh, shoot.
And in our culture that can't define what a woman is, and we have an epidemic of fatherless children, right? This isn't new, but this verse is about the law. And this verse had me just on my knees. And it said, it's from Exodus 22:22. You must not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, they will no doubt cry to me, and I will certainly hear their cry. And why this floored me is because my dad, as many of you know, was a heroin addict in and out of prison and spent most of his time with a needle in his arm. And so I had a mother that, in turn, had severe mental health and physical issues. So I was pretty much on my own. And I remember thinking, like, this is not fair. But I read that this week, and I was just like, oh, there is a generation of kids that are crying out to the Lord, and he hears their cry. And so what stood out to me is that God is so good. He hears us. And even if we don't have the mother of our dreams, my mother is the sweetest woman, and prays because she was so sick, she couldn't do anything else. And the part of the story for our son is prophecy and dreams are alive and they're happening still today. Because when we were in labor with Malachi, our eldest, my brother had a dream that the cord was wrapped around our son's neck twice and that he died. And he called my mom and he said, "I'm really worried about Jody in labor. I think something, you know, could happen." And my mom said, "That's a vision from the Lord, and you need to pray to come against that dream for your, you know," we knew it was a boy. He's the only child we ever knew. She said, "You have to come against that dream." And my brother prayed and everyone was praying. And when our son was born, they start a clock because he isn't breathing. And for 3 minutes and 33 seconds, he didn't breathe. And he should have severe mental and physical disabilities. And the doctor said to Joel, I know you're a praying man, you need to pray. And Joel prayed, and he is totally the smartest little cookie in the world. And so we had so many miracles in that. And so many times in our life, we have seen prophecy and vision. Again, with our twins, we were told that one had spina bifida, and people gave a prophetic word and said, "No, your baby is fine." And so prophecy in that, and mothers and women, they want to eradicate who you are because you hear and you see things in the spirit realm, and you get dreams and you get visions, and you pray with something that is so powerful that it breaks generational bonds. And stuff that the enemy wants, he wants to snuff out the next generation. He wants to confuse them. And the power of women and mothers is beyond powerful. And so I just want to encourage you that God has a gift and a calling and an anointing on the women to listen to the dreams, to listen to what your kids say, even those little small things. And to pray, become powerful prayer warriors. Anyways, I'm just going to pray for the women and the mothers. And the reason that we're speaking about this today is we think that, I think it was unexpected, right? Is that there is a call and an anointing for this next generation to be bold and to be brave. And so, if you are a woman, I just invite you to stand and just receive. Just open your hands and receive. We're going to ask Holy Spirit to come. Lord Jesus, it is not a mistake that every one of us have been born for this time and this exact moment in history, Lord Jesus. And every woman that is represented in this room has the capacity to battle for the next generation. God, that they are equipped with every good and perfect gift to come against the plans and the schemes of the enemy. Lord, you are stronger, you are greater, and you have given us right now all that we need to fight. And so, God, I just pray a blessing as our hands are open, that from this day forward, we are given dreams and visions, that we are serious about our job to pray. God, that we come before you and we receive every day from your word what you have for us, how much you love us and you delight in us. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray for each of the women that's standing here today, God, that even from the moment they walk out the door, they hear your voice, they experience the power, and that they know, God, that you are with them. So God, bless and anoint, give us tools and strategy. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us and that you knew that the world needed us right now in whatever vocation we find ourselves in. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for Crossroads Women, Lord. Thank you, God, for the Sunshine Coast that is brighter and lighter because they carry your presence and they shift atmospheres wherever they go. So bless, and God, we thank you. We thank you that you saw that there was two genders and you said that the man and the woman, that they were good. And that when the woman came, you said they were very good. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for our community. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our mothers and our fathers, Lord Jesus. We bless and anoint. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, so women, just please stay standing still. Father, I just see in my mind connections to our moms, or connections to those closest to you. And if you're here and you wanted to be a mother and it never came to be, we're speaking about those relationships where you carry a mothering or an influencing role. And if you don't have any of those, we're praying for the ones that are to come. And so I want you to receive all this with that hope in mind. And so I see two cords that go back to our mom. And one is a cord of possibly negative experiences, negative things that have happened. And the other is all positive, all good gifts that come from you, Jesus. And so we receive and we hold on to the good gifts. And in your name, Jesus, we cut the cord of all the negativity, and we speak healing and forgiveness in those places and in those relationships. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, overwhelm, overflow, fill us to that place. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We praise you, God, for the way that you've given us this design of family. We praise you for the example of Jesus that you were on the cross. And we worship you and you alone. And so in all of our relationships, in our relationships to our parents, to our spouses, to our children, to our friends, let them be structured in the right way of your design, Lord. Your design and your design only. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So good, church. So good. We're going to move into ministry time right now. If I can invite our ministry teams, we'll have communion on this side, and we will have our prayer team on this side. If there's anything that connected, or anything where you need somebody to come alongside and journey with, anything that we didn't mention but you still want prayer for, please make your way up. We'll have giving set up at the back in the foyer. Don't forget that. That's part of our worship, part of our demonstration that money is not our God, but God is our God. Agreed? Beautiful, church. Have an amazing day. Moms, we bless you, and we hope that your day is amazing.